Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
With Travis Bowles.
He traded a Hulkbuster for that.
I go and see the doctor and he says, hey, you gotta lose some weight. He told me he wants to put me on some weight loss pill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, sign me up for that shit.
Pete McCarthy.
If you don't pull out like a 1994 S10 pickup out of that box, you got that opinion is wrong, Steven. Nothing you can say makes that not wrong. I'm literally chewing Travis's fecal matter. I'm swallowing it down so I can keep talking. All right?
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
I could arm wrestle her, and then I could beat her, and I could probably impress her because she'd be like, wow, this guy's even tougher than the Mandalorian. I don't know why it's in bullpen.
That's where the artists and writers will sit in a bullpen.
Oh, you couldn't say that nowadays. It'd have to be bulls and cows. I think I am this show. Alright, everybody, welcome to the My Wife is Gonna Kill Me podcast. That's right. No episode number. We're just doing a little special thing. We're on our road to episode 200. And that's taken a lot of work. You know, we've been putting in hours and hours and hours preparing for that. And so we don't have time to, you know, put together a real episode today. So just bear with us. But we thought we'd stop by. I'm here, Steve Bisciotti. Travis Bowles is here. How you doing, Trav?
Wonderful.
And Pete McCarthy's here. How you doing, Pete?
Wonderful.
Talk about Eeyore. He called me Eeyore a few seconds ago. Anyways. So, yeah, we're here. We're on Skype. I'm a little bit under the weather, which basically means I'm a giant pussy right now. And I didn't want to go to the shop today. So we're doing this. But we got some fun things to talk about. Mainly, the show that these two guys went to, amongst many other crew members, My Wife is Going to Kill Me regulars, were there, and they're going to talk about it. They're going to tell me what happened, because I wasn't there. I was being responsible and did not want to go to the giant petri dish that is Kane County. So,
as we sit here healthy and you sit there with COVID,
I don't have COVID.
Call, Steve. It's a good call.
I do not have COVID. But I'm going to close my door real quick, guys. Travis, tell us about Kane County.
If you're not familiar with Kane County, the Chicago Toy Show is maybe one of the longest running toy shows in America. Super huge. I wish I could tell you how many vendors, but I'm too lazy to count. It is five buildings full of toys that you played with from your childhood all the way right down to toys that you literally have never seen before. And it's an amazing show that I experienced for the first time, I want to say actually selling at it. I think I sold at it before I ever attended. And it's probably going on about at least six years of selling there.
I was with you.
The first time?
I believe I was with you the first time. I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive I was with you the first time selling. I was actually helping. I was actually setting shit up and doing, you know, what I do.
And we've been there multiple times now. Pete, how would you really describe this show?
Oh, it's exactly that. It's at a fairgrounds, so it's a bunch of big-ass barns full of toys. And it really is. It's not only... Like, you walk through there, and this is some of these booths are filled with, like, the toys of your dreams. And then there's some booths that are filled with the toys of your nightmares. Because there are the creepiest doll people at these shows. And when you walk by, all of the dolls are staring at you. And it is spooky. And I don't like it. This is my first time ever going in October, though. Because for those of you that don't know, Kane County is a twice-a-year show, spring and fall. I've never done the fall show because normally it landed on one of the my annual training conferences I attend. So that was kind of fun being down there for the October show versus just the April. But a lot of fun.
I can't, you know, you when you go to just toy shows, it's always like this mixture of the old guard and the new peeps, you know, so you'll have modern toys like what I sell. And then you'll have a table that literally will have seven turntables on it with metal cars, like die-cast cars. And that's all that's on their table is seven of these cars. And I walk by and I go, what in the hell? How is that worth coming to this show? But this show draws in a lot of people. And here we are doing it during the pandemic. And we went into it with expectations of, I would say, a slower show because we just didn't think. I mean, let's be honest. The whole county was you couldn't sit down and eat in a restaurant. The whole county was locked down.
And that night we got there on Friday.
Yeah.
Made the order that, hey, by the way, nobody can go out to dinner and eat at all weekend, which was the reason I went. So.
You know, when you go to Chicago, you want to eat good food. You really want to eat good food. We still ate good food, but unfortunately not how we wanted to eat it. We ate it in a hotel after it was delivered. But. It was pretty shocking. I would say attendance seems like it was just like it always is. What do you think, Pete?
No, I mean, there's no way that we had the same attendance that we normally do. And it was so hard to gauge because every room had less vendors. They basically essentially pulled out an entire row to give, you know, to spread people out. So if you would have had 50 people in that room at a normal Kane County show, it would have looked a hell of a lot fuller than 50 people at this show. So I don't think there's any way during the pandemic that we got the attendance that we normally get. But again, it's very hard to tell because it was a very, very deceiving look. You know, and Travis made the point, and he's absolutely right. When we were on the way home, less people, but more money. People were coming out. They were coming to buy toys, and they were ever. I don't know if everybody was feeling flush, a little stimulus action, a little unemployment, a little whatever, but they were spending money. We didn't have tire kickers. People came into the booth. They found what they wanted. They paid cash money and they walked out. I mean, there was barely any even card transactions. It was just cash all day, every day. And so from that standpoint, it was a very good show. There was a lot of great sales. I think, you know, normally there's probably a 1 in 3 that's just showing up to see cool stuff. Well, that person wasn't going to risk the COVID just to see cool stuff. But the people that wanted to buy stuff, they're like, I haven't got to go to a show in 6 months, 7 months. I'm doing it. And if you're going to go to a show, why not Kane County? That's in the barns with the huge vaulted ceilings, and it's, and you walk out of a building and then you're in open wide air space to get to the next hall. It would make sense that this would be the perfect show for somebody to transition back into the life. So,
and the reality of it, everybody there was wearing masks. The show did a very good job of making it as safe as they possibly could without canceling it. And it was, I like everyone that was there was just happy to be at a toy show. So they wore masks and there could have been issues someplace else, but nothing that we ever saw.
No.
So amazing show. I saw toys I haven't seen, like I said, ever. I sent some pictures to Steve and Jeremy because, you know, like if I come across these cool, like Motu things or Motu inspired things, I'm like, oh man, I should reach out to my buddies, the hosts of Podcasters of the Universe,
and they were all enthused, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm done doing that. I've learned a valuable lesson. Okay. Stop sending Steve and Jeremy pictures.
That's neato.
That's PTE. Well, what are we supposed to say? You showed us what you did. Show us was very cool. It was a playset that, if I'm not mistaken, was kind of meant for the knockoff stuff that me and Jeremy both collect. I think Justice Curry started copying us after we started that. But yeah, that was, and it was very cool. It's a playset that I've never seen, and Travis mentioned he'd never seen it before. I was asking like $300 for it. And it was very super cool, but what do you want me to say? I didn't have $300 to spend on it, and I really don't have a place to put it. I just got Snake Mountain coming in the came in the door here, and I truly appreciate those pictures. I really hope you change your mind and don't withhold, because when you see stuff like that, you know, I wish you could just see my face. You know, text can be very deceiving.
So what entire booth that had more vintage He-Man than we've ever seen in one place, and 6 to 7 duplicates of all of it. So what's your really cool explanation as to that picture?
I never got that picture. You never sent me a picture.
Full of nothing but vintage Motu.
No one sent me a picture of that.
I sent that to our toy group on Snapchat, Peter, and Steve is that's below him.
Yep, Steve, I owe you an apology. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that Travis puts important stuff through non-conventional memes, you know? Like, oh, hey, Pete, you didn't know we had a big meeting for work? No, I didn't know that. Oh, I sent you a message on AIM. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
I think Travis really, you know, he is sort of going through his midlife crisis, and he just wants to be one of these cool kids that uses Snapchat. And, you know, he's just got to realize, you know, I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. I use the real methods of communication, which is, you know, regular text message, and possibly, if I'm feeling saucy, Facebook Messenger.
Okay, so Travis is rubbing his beard. Steven, I need you to take a little look-see here.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Stubble? That looks like some stubble coming in. Also looks like you're breaking out a little.
Well, I'm still young enough to have that problem, so. Well, my sideburns are gone, Steve.
Oh, I was wondering why. Okay, wow.
15 years I've had them, and nobody notices they're missing. My wife noticed they were missing. My wife literally felt them tickle the inside of her thighs, didn't know they were missing.
Yeah, you don't look any different. It's because your face is so fat, it sticks out farther than your sideburns, and nobody sees them anyways, unless it's a side profile.
Right.
I went through this already once, Steven, because I also did not notice. Now, he didn't quite give me as long as you, but I would have noticed, because I'm a trained observer. But
yeah.
No, I'm on a little screen on his phone. Like, you were in person. I was in your fucking house.
Did you, as now that you're in charge of the fire department, did you impose a new edict that no sideburns?
No, it was partially for my costume for Friday, and but more so for Movember, because I can't, you know, we can't grow beards for No Shave November, so I figured I would just take my chops off and then regrow them, you know, for the month. Oh. So.
Hey, before I get back to Kane County, I wanted to show you guys this. I've been meaning to bring it in.
A test shot?
Yep. Our good friend.
That looks cool.
Our good friend Anthony Munoz reached out to me and Hammer.
You mean Eric Torres? Such an ass.
Anthony Munoz. So he reaches out to me.
I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't know if you're talking about Alex Torres, or if you're talking about Eric Munoz, or if you're talking about somebody I've never met. I have no clue.
So Eric gets a hold of me and says, hey, I need money. I think he had a bad.
I don't think that's how he says it. I don't think that's how he says it.
Hey, I need some money.
There we go.
I ran into some problems with the coyotes, and I need to get some cash. So.
If you tie my finger, my sister will not make it across the border.
So, I love the dude. He hooked me up with this, a good price. Of course, it was at a time when I had a lot of money. So, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I'll pay $100 and some for something that you paid $30 for. But anyway, so I've got it. It's mine now. I'm going to add it to my collection. And it's funny because I never really was like, I'm going to collect test shots. But I've just been kind of slowly accruing them. And I think it's just like a fun little piece of Four Horsemen history, Mythic Legions history to have. So super excited about that. Back to King County. Took Peter, Kyle Moore, Ben Talmadge, and Jason Boonstra. And the five of us had a really good time, a lot of fun, a little bit of ribbon back and forth. There was a little bit of drama, mostly with the sleeping arrangement.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
It's probably best if Pete tells it because he was on the shitter, so he's probably the best one to explain the situation.
So there's two ways to explain it. So the quick down and dirty easy way would be to say Ben Talmadge is a tiny bitch. But the more way would be, so we're going down, there's five of us, two rooms, four beds, right? So somebody's doubling up or somebody's sleeping on the floor. Steve, I'm a late addition to the group. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go. Then I remembered that I don't work weekends anymore, and it just worked out. So, like, literally within a week ahead of time, I was able to jump on the bandwagon. Another friend was supposed to go. He wasn't able to make it due to a previous engagement. I kind of filled his slot. So we're heading down there, and we're getting to the hotel. We get a phone call. It's like, hey, we want to talk about sleeping arrangements. Well, the sleeping arrangements were just, Travis just said, hey, you can bunk with me. The other guys are in the other room. Okay, whatever. Again, I don't care. So Benny is like, hey, wanted to talk about sleeping arrangements. I was thinking I'll put all the snorers in the same room, you know, because they're snorers and, you know, which would make sense. Clinically makes sense. If there's, I'll put all the people that make noise in one room, the people that don't make noise in the other room. I totally get that. Except for the fact that I don't snore. So he kind of lumped me into this, just assuming because I'm morbidly obese that I snore. But I don't snore.
No, you do snore. You snore horribly.
I do not snore.
If you do not have the aid of your machine.
Doesn't matter. I don't snore because I have a machine. So.
Well, I just don't want people to really think that this fat ass doesn't snore.
Right. So I mean, it's not even really snoring is my issue. It's more the fact that I just quit breathing and almost died. But at any rate. So we get to the hotel first. We go into room A. Travis and I put our stuff down. I go into room B and take a massive shit because that's what you do. So I come back in, and then all of a sudden we're like, Travis moved his stuff into the other room, into room B. So then Kyle and Jason moved into room A with me. And I'm like, why did we flip rooms? And then it got like, oh, okay, well, we're playing cool kid popularity. We're all 14-year-old girls. So, hey, all the snorers in the same room. I'm like, bitch, I'm not a snorer. So what makes you more important that you get to sleep with a non-snorer when you're a non-snorer, but I'm a non-snorer and I got to sleep with two snorers? And one of the snorers, like, brings earplugs for people because he knows how bad he snores. And I thought, that's okay. No big deal. So, and realistically, Steve, like, I poked and joked about this the entire weekend. I honestly didn't care. Like, I gave zero shits because I told the guys, I'll double bunk, I'll hot bunk, I'll whatever. I literally don't care. But I had so much fun poking. So we're in the room doing our thing. So the next morning we wake up and Benny says to Travis, well, man, those guys were laughing last night. They were having a lot of fun. It kind of sounded like that was the fun room. Like, yep, it was the fun room. you wanted to be with the non-snore. Okay. So now flash forward to the second night. We don't change sleeping arrangements. It stays the same. So night two, on the other side of room B, which would be room C, is a group of five guys making noise all night long. So Kyle, Jason, and I sleep like babies. Ben and Travis get 2 hours of sleep because these guys won't shut up. Like, legit, Ben is calling the front desk, telling them the staff to come up and shut these motherfuckers up. And I'm just laying there sleeping like a baby going, that's what you get. You know, that's what you get. You should, if you would have just left shit the way that it was, you know. But nope, you want,
We need to stop it just a second. Travis, so you're in the room with Ben. With the noise happens, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does this really warrant front desk calling, or is Ben being a little bitch?
You're hesitant at all.
He's trying to figure out how to do this diplomatically.
No, two things. One, it definitely warranted a call to the front desk. Two, Ben was definitely a little bitch.
Would you have called the front desk?
I never would have called the front desk. You guys know me. Like, I'm like that guy that's laying there going, wow, those guys are having fun. Lucky them. You know, that kind of stuff doesn't, it pisses Heidi off too. Like, Heidi literally has walked out our hotel room to people, like, you know, when you stay at those little shitty ones that you walk on a walkway to get to your room, and then like everybody can stand outside. Yeah, you know. And like Heidi has opened our door and said, hey, we're trying to sleep. Can you guys please be quiet? You know, probably not that nice.
Amanda would have complained as well, as would have Courtney. Are we seeing the trend here? Amanda, Courtney, Heidi, back. Those are the type of people that complain. All with vaginas. So in the funniest part about this, Steve, is in my opinion, Travis deserved the first pick because Travis paid for the rooms. Ben deserved the second pick because he's the dude that set it all up and got sweet freaking deals on the hotel. So that was the best part. Is he was the only one that put work into the hotels, Ben was. He's the one that called and arranged it. Trav just swiped his card to pay for him, and he got absolutely shit on. And even better is Ben never changed rooms. So even if it would have stayed the same and it wouldn't have been Travis and I, he would have had the snorers and the loud guys because it was Travis that moved and not Ben. So Ben got the non-snorer, but he should have taken my spot and moved into Trav's room with him instead of pulling Trav to him. So, but yeah, we had an absolute freaking riot, man. It was so much fun.
So now, how was Ben during the day after his not being able to get his sleep and, you know, finding lumps in his bed and all of that whiny little.
No, he was totally fine. He didn't even whine about the room assignments. It was literally just him making that one suggestion and then me extrapolating it and compounding it. That's really all.
And really what it all came down to, too, he did not want to sleep in the same room as Kyle. He really just didn't want to sleep with Kyle. And because Kyle snores like a chainsaw. I mean, literally like a chainsaw.
Three whole times the whole night I slept with him, he made noise. Three times in an entire night.
Oh, really?
I think he's being falsely accused. Like, calling him a snorer is like calling Charles Manson a serial killer. Like, he didn't actually kill anybody, but he gets lumped in.
So some great experiences at King County, besides selling a whole shitload of toys, hanging out with the crew. Saturday night, we hung out with about, I don't know, 9 people probably, something like that. Alex, you know, came over, him and his wife, which unfortunately for her, she was the only woman hanging out with our group. I kind of felt bad for her from that standpoint.
Yeah, but she was cards right. She could have been the most fortunate person in the room, but no.
SC Taylor, Sean Taylor, made the trip. Him and his wife flew to Chicago from Florida. And it really what his plan was, he's like, dude, I got my wife here because of like Chicago, like go out to eat, all that fun stuff. And then he got to come to the toy show. And even better, not only did he get to come to the toy show, and we got to hang out with him and you know, enjoy that experience. By the way, wife, super hot. But then we also we got to watch him buy a $10,000, and that money, it's right around in that range. I don't know what he actually paid or whatever. But the guy was asking $13,000.
Can I try to remember what it was? Can I try to impress Steve here?
Oh yeah, do it, buddy, do okay. it.
So what he bought, Steve, was a 78 Star Wars vintage carded unpunched Jawa with the plastic cape. The guy was asking 13 for it, and there was, you know, it was some negotiations. It was carded in the, you know, the seal, hermetically sealed, graded at an 85. And there were people down there at the show that were talking about that could easily be a 90 if the right person looked at it. There were other dealers, there were hardcore Star Wars guys that were like, that's a great price for that figure. It's worth more. So he really got a, from what all the Star Wars people I know said, he got a great deal on a beautiful piece, man.
That is crazy. You were close. You did a good job. It's a vinyl cape, not a plastic cape. But other than that, pretty good. My God, that I cannot imagine.
If I would have said acrylic, would that have been more accurate?
I don't know. Everything Steve says about Star Wars is wrong.
For the case, yeah, but.
But I can't imagine having, you know, I mean, you talk about, I've got some expensive pieces in my collection, but I just, that even just seems, something that could possibly be worth $13,000 just, wow. I wonder if I'll ever have something like that.
It's a different world.
And everybody that was talking was like, the right buyer, the right auction, that's worth 18. You'll probably get 22 for it. If you got it graded and they redid it and ended up being a 90, that could be a $30,000 piece. So, and that's just what people were saying, that, and those people know much more about toys and Star Wars specifically than I do. But it was really cool. And he was giddy about being able to find something that cool. He paid the early bird, and he got a vehicle, a boxed vehicle, an original that was still sealed. That he was super excited about, and that was before he even grabbed that high dollar piece. But he was really happy with the show, and like I said, we got to hang out with him Saturday night, and it was super cool. It's so much fun being recognized, you know. That to me is just a blast.
Well, and not only that, you know, like Sean was messaging me, like reaching out, and that's the coolest part about this. I mean, obviously, we will all agree that actually the three of us just getting together and talking about stuff we enjoy, that's the coolest part. But the next coolest part, well, no, it's the relationship with Cornboy and Guillermo. Anyway, the third coolest part is definitely
Cornboy collectors with smoking hot wives on OnlyFans. That's the next one. So that's one. Go one more tier.
Okay, one more tier after that. The next tier is
the free stuff that people send us. That would be so that's about the eighth slot. So the ninth slot, you're right, Travis.
The ninth slot is when someone comes up to you and says, I love the podcast, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, that is pretty freaking cool. I mean, it was just a really fun experience, and we enjoyed it, and it was a good time talking with not only listeners, but obviously other toy people. I can tell you the great thing about Kane County in Chicago, and to give someone an idea about this. So Sean really only collects vintage Star Wars. Okay, that's it. To me, that sounds super boring, because eventually you get it all, right? You know, for the most part. But he flies to Chicago and walks in and sees – You know, like Pete said, the first table he went to, he bought something. You know, but he immediately finds this piece and pulls the trigger on it. Like, how amazing is that?
That just gives the why Kane County has the reputation it has. It's a big deal, that thing. It's a great show, and you know,
we see something there every year, twice a year. We see something there that we've never seen before. That's cool, man. Now don't get me wrong. It's much easier to impress a guy like me because I don't have your guys' depth of knowledge, and I haven't seen what you guys have seen. But when you guys are walking through, when Justice Curry is like, I've never seen this in person before, that's a big deal, you know? So,
yeah, for sure.
Which is fun. And it's just a show that, like, if you're listening to this show, you need to figure out a way to get there because it is absolutely amazing.
Travis, you're a guy that's not a big fan of driving. You know, I mean, as far as, like, I don't want to jump in the car and go 6 hours to do something or whatever. For the average toy collector, what would you say? How far would you be willing to drive, or how far should somebody be willing to drive to get to this show?
So my opinion on that, and like, Pete's right. I don't like driving anywhere. I would say that this is an 8 to 10 hour drive, as long as you're making a weekend of it.
Right.
You need to go Saturday. You need to go Sunday. So you drive over Friday. You go Saturday, you go Sunday. I don't care if you drive home Sunday night or stay one more night. If you make this like a vacation weekend, it is easily worth an 8 to 10 hour drive and jumping on an airplane from California or Florida to go to Chicago. Well worth it.
Right. That's exactly what I would have said. I would have said I'd drive up to 10 hours to if I had. Now, don't get me wrong. I do this one because I work the booth and I get a free hotel and some free meals, and I love the, you know, I mean, you want to have some money to spend. You know, if you're going to make the 10 hour trip, have some cash in your pocket because you're going to find stuff that you want. It's definitely not. I mean, you want to be able to have the opportunity. Again, maybe you're know who's walking around with 10 grand in their pocket for a plastic cake Jawa, you know, or sand person, as they're often called in the lore. I learned that yesterday. So I'm kidding. So no. Yesterday I messaged Steven because we're watching The Mandalorian, and I wanted to make sure that sand people and Tusken Raiders were the same thing. And I wanted to know what the name of that big, like, yak thing was. And he was kind enough to help me out. So, but yeah, have some money in your pocket. Have the ability to spend some money, because you're going to find some great stuff there, and it will be worth your time.
So let me ask you guys this, and this is just Steve, you got something you want to throw in real quick?
I just want to clarify before I keep getting the Guillermo, everything Steve says about Star Wars is wrong bullshit. I did not tell Pete that a Jawa was a sand person. I told him that a Tusken Raider was the same thing as a sand person, and that it was a Bantha that was the yak thing I think he's talking about there. But so
I thought that I was making a joke about that.
I know, but there's a language barrier with Guillermo, and I just wanted to go through this and make sure that everything was clear.
He don't know the words. He don't always know the words.
So let me ask you guys this question. As collectors, if you're telling someone, like, you minimum should bring this much amount of money, and I'm not talking about hotels, restaurants, any of that stuff. I'm talking about just spending money for this show. And I get it, everybody's in different situations, but thinking about it from yours, what do you tell somebody this is the minimum you bring to this show?
$500. $500. If I wanted to do Kane County right, I would start that show with $500. Now, and that's from a guy that can pick up turtles for $8. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
But I mean, $500 will get, because, dude, there's so many great $80 to $100 pieces across so many toy lines that you find there. And that Jawa was a great example of, Okay, yeah, you've got there's some boosts there. It looks like somebody like made a mixed drink of an estate sale and a yard sale, pounded it, and then threw up all over the table. But there again, you come across a carded turtle for $85 that looks nice. Well, guess what? That $500 goes pretty quick when you're dropping $85 to $100 on a piece. But this is a place you're going to find it. It's absolutely amazing what you can find there. And some of the, there's never a show that you'll find that'll have more Power Rangers stuff than this place. That seems to be one that Power Rangers is always heavy through this show, and you don't see that anywhere else. So you're a guy like me who has these lines he kind of looks at, but loves Power Rangers. You roll through, well, shit, there's a 94 Megazord in the box still. You don't see that anywhere. And maybe you're not a hardcore collector of Power Rangers, but you grab it up because you love that piece. And that's what this show does to you.
Yeah, I would say that if you don't have $500 in your hand, at least, you're not going to have any fun there unless you're Matt Rodriguez, because he's so cheap. He's just looking for, like, free flyers and, you know, papers and stuff he can put in a bag, and maybe some
restrooms.
Huh?
He's a big fan of using public restrooms.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he goes. And, dude, Kane's great because there's, like, 9 bathrooms.
Well, plus you can always walk up to that little sandwich area that they have and get some condiments. You can grab some condiments, put those in your wife's purse. And that's the kind of stuff that Rodriguez is into.
Right. Plastic spoons, napkins, salt. Splenda, NutraSweet, it's a great little place.
I'm going to go with you guys. 500 is the minimum for sure. I mean, it is just one of those shows where you're going to find cool pieces. And it's weird because when I walk through there, I'm like, holy crap, I remember that from my childhood. And yeah. Or, holy crap, what the fuck Transformer is that? I've never even seen that before. You know, so it's just a cool, cool place that I really, I mean, obviously we've talked about it now multiple years on this show, but if you haven't been, you got to get to this show. You just have to get there. I also got to run into our good friend Joe Ryan. Joe, obviously going through a tough time right now dealing with cancer. I want to make sure we make this announcement because I'm going to start pushing it real quick here. Our goal is to have a raffle. We're going to put together a couple packages of toys and other things, and we're going to have raffles. So it'll be a buy-in. You buy in at a certain level. Our $10 Patreons are automatically going to get thrown in. But we're going to take all the money that we make doing those. And these won't be like the Travis surprise boxes, which has been good stuff in. These are going to be good boxes, you know, with some custom pieces. And so we're going to do some good stuff, and we're going to make that announcement soon. It'll be on the on Facebook and everything. And if you guys want to get in, we would love to have you. So we're looking forward to that.
Real quick, I talked over Travis when he mentioned the custom heads, custom painted stuff. I mean, there's going to be some legit stuff in these boxes. I didn't want that to get missed because I realized I talked over him. So, yeah, and it's for a great cause, taking care of Joe Rhino and his family. And so we hope that everybody jumps in and participates with that. And should be a good time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So great show. Once again, had a ton of fun. I picked up some stuff there. Can I show you guys some stuff I got? Okay. I posted the picture on our page, and then I also put it on Facebook if anybody wants to take a look at it, because it in my opinion was a pretty good haul. I got the classified Cobra Commander in the red and black.
Listeners, I just want you guys to know Travis is sitting in his toy room right now, and he wants to show us his toys that he got at Kane County, and these are the same toys that he posted a picture of on the Facebook page. So as Travis starts to show us these toys, he picks up his phone, to the pictures he posted on Facebook and then shows them to the camera lens. So Steve and I are looking at his phone with a picture of the toy while he's sitting in his own toy room as opposed to the toy. And I just thought that's an important thing for the listeners to understand.
Okay,
because
here we go. Here's
the toys are in a box behind him, and he was too lazy to get his ass up and get them out of there. He would rather sit 3 feet away from the box and show us pictures on his phone. Hey, my God.
Hey, Steve, I picked up one Mythic Legions figure at the show. It's super cool. It's a Templar Knight. If you guys go to sourcehorseman.com, you can pull up that picture and see what I bought. It's really neat. So make sure you head over to Source Horseman and check out what I paid for it. Yeah.
All right, Steve, call him out, buddy.
We got a. Is that a guy? Is that a the Templar Knight at that price?
Yep.
Godfrey?
The price tags that are on there is not what I paid.
Okay. So that's a builder Templar.
Yeah, that is a builder.
That's why he asked you to call him out.
I can't see. There's a reflection. I still can't tell who that is. Is that the Blood Knight armor?
Yep.
Okay.
Vorgas Vermilion?
I believe so. Oh, we've got Attila. We've got Attila the Hun. Attila the Lionhead. And we've got... It's a goblin. I can't tell which one.
Gonks?
Gonks. Okay.
Gonks. A Silverhorn Sentry.
Nice.
That's a great figure.
Times two.
Well, of course.
Well, every man should have two. A Black Knight.
Yep. And last but not least.
That looks like... Oh, Romulus. Oh, my gosh. That's one of the top right there.
Yeah, I was pretty excited, and it was one of those things where the guy at the end of the night, I just said, hey, listen, I want all of these. And he's like, oh, you know, okay, we can make a deal. And good dude, every year I've bought something from him because he always has really good toys. But for me to walk out of there and those, you know, obviously there's a, you know, a couple builders in there too, but man, some heavy hitters. Just heavy hitters. So I was pretty dang excited about that.
What everybody doesn't know is I want to connect two of the stories from the Kane County weekend. Ben doesn't realize that all that rumpus he heard with those five guys in the room next door was Travis paying for those Mythic Legions. So that's actually what kept Ben up all night was, you know, Travis getting a good deal on those figures.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know.
That's right, buddy. That's right.
I mean, you know, Mythic Legions—they don't—they don't just come out of nowhere. You got to do something sometimes.
Jeez. You know what is funny too is when that Pulsecon Cobra Commander went up for order. Did you get one, Steve?
I did not, and so I'm very jealous that you did.
So I wasn't even really that interested. I didn't even try and order them because I was like, how many Cobra Commanders do I freaking need?
That one is beautiful.
So of course Kyle and Ben had them, you know, little freaking nerds on their phones ordering everything, and they opened it up and set it up for display, and I looked at it, was in my booth. I looked at it and I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta have it. I mean, it's just that good.
So Kyle and Ben, did you buy it from them then?
I did. I can't remember which one. I think Kyle.
Do they have extras?
They do.
I gotta reach out to one of those basses.
Hey, yeah. Steve. What was one of the most fun parts of the show was their Kyle and Ben both had some things that Travis didn't, so they threw it up in the booth, and they would have the same price on it, and somebody would be interested. So Trav and I would play the game, like, who do we like more right now as to which one we would sell them? Was super fun. Ben didn't sell shit. So,
did you happen to notice that Ben literally, it seemed like always Ben's was always in front of Kyle's?
Ben walked around and faced his product in front of Kyle's all day, every day. It was so good.
Why didn't Kyle just put his stuff up on the higher shelf?
Do you realize what it's like? Oh, we do know because we're fat. I was going to say, Ben literally has to deal with short jokes his entire life. But then again, I'm like, oh, yeah. But, I mean, seriously, every day someone says something about my weight. So.
But in not his entire life, though, because he was just normal size till he was six. It was after that that they were like, okay, he's short. So
that's right. You know, I had a good 20 years where I wasn't fat.
That's true.
Great example too of, you know, when Travis said, you know, there was some ribbing this weekend, we spent the entire weekend poking and joking and just we laughed the entire weekend, and it was such a fun crew. And you know, and Jason, yeah, I kind of want to mention, you know, Jason didn't really go to shop or to set up. I mean, obviously he helped set up different things and pack up, but he actually met a guy down there that it was taking pictures of his Sector collection and some of his prototypes and stuff for a book that a guy is doing. So, I mean, that was super cool too, that one of the guys with us was involved in that. And, but yeah, man, we just freaking, we laughed all weekend and just had an absolute riot. So.
Yeah, it was a good time. I wish you were there, Steve. And so do some of our listeners who asked about you.
They did.
Oh man. I would have loved to meet the listeners. Other than that, I'm fine that I didn't go.
What was the answer every time somebody asked where Steve was?
What do you think it was, Steve? What do you think the answer was?
Steve's being responsible.
Try again.
Steve's got a lot of hard artistic work to do, and he's swamped right now, and he's got to do some things.
You know what, let me chase, because my battery's going low. It was either bitch or pussy. So I think it's one guy that you had a really bloody vagina. At one point, I think I told somebody that Courtney had you in the dungeon in your gimp suit. We had all sorts of fun reasons why you weren't there.
Well, good. Real,
all we had to do was be like, he's lame, and they'd be like, yeah, I've heard the show, I know.
Yeah. Yep.
So King County, huge success, super fun. Goal.
Pete gone?
Nah, I think he just turned off his camera.
Oh.
I answered. My wife just texted me and says, where are you? Because I've been sitting in the driveway for 40 minutes, and I told her I was on my way home. So I'm going to get out of here, guys. I got to prep for D&D today. And, yeah, so.
Good luck, buddy.
All right, Pete. We'll see you later.
I hope your bard makes it.
What?
I hope your bard makes it.
We don't have a bard in the group, I don't think. Nope, we don't have a bard in the group.
Do you know what a bard is?
What?
Do you know what a bard is?
I do know what a bard is, yeah. It's one of the classes. We don't have any bard classes in our current traveling group.
Steve was about to school you on some D&D.
Yeah, good call. No bards. We have a druid. We have a barbarian. We have a warrior. I just multi-classed. I'm actually a five fighter and a one rogue.
I'm nice.
Not a badass.
All right, Pete. Well, we're going to miss you. We'll see you later.
Yep, I'm going to go play with my clickety-clack math dice, my math rock.
You have fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
See you, buddy.
Love you guys.
Love you too. And then there were two.
So really, you don't regret it? You don't regret not going to Kane?
I mean, yeah, I kind of do, but I don't know. I was still in my little safety bubble, and and that's, I'm comfortable there. You know.
I get it, buddy.
There will be a time when I'll enjoy something like that again. But I do miss, you know, I mean, you always feel like you missed out when everybody's together.
Yeah, of course.
There is that. So, got Snake Mountain.
Oh, yeah. I saw your pictures. It sounds like you're super happy.
I am. I am, and I can't wait. I want to actually you know, do a little talk about it on the podcast when we're all together where you guys can actually lay your eyes on it. But I did just want to say, anybody that hasn't gotten theirs yet, if you're worried about the quality, I would stop. It's fine. It's great. It's they did it. They killed it. The paint apps are great. The quality is there. It looks beautiful. If you got a place to put it, that's the biggest thing, because it is a big piece of plastic.
Dude, did you see on the Cabal, the Mythic Legions Cabal on Facebook group, that someone actually already painted it?
No, I did not see that. Wow.
I would like you to take a look, because I want to know how much they really painted it, or they just, like, you know, flesh out some details or something. But I'm like, you got to be shitting me, you know. What did it cost?
Well, I believe it was $700 or $750 by the time you paid for shipping.
Yeah.
So
you pay $750 to paint it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, in my opinion, that doesn't, you, well, you guys know my opinion. That's too recognizable to go with Mythic Legions. It's a Masters of the Universe thing, and that's where it belongs. So that wouldn't be my cup of tea anyways, but I would like to see what they did. I'm trying to scroll through right now and see if I can find a picture. There's too much content in Mythic Legions Cabal.
Yeah, group's too big. Got to boot out 500 people.
We need to Thanos that group.
Yep.
Get rid of half.
Wow. Which is so silly, because it's doing exactly what it's supposed to, and that's helping spread the love for the line. But it is, it's become a little different. I should have screen grabbed it, but I didn't. Well, buddy, you enjoy playing with your little Snake Mountain.
I will. We'll wrap the show up. I want to plug, this is Sunday as we record. Wolf King Custom Sale went live yesterday at 3:00. There's some great pieces in there. Grab some. Don't miss out. Painted pieces are limited. We're selling out of a few of them already. Get over there.
Dude, the Cleaver, it sounds like the Cleaver sold out fast.
Yeah, the Cleaver was the first thing to sell out, and it was like within the first hour, I think.
And I'm sure it was probably a limited number, you know, produced kind of thing. But still, that's pretty damn awesome.
Heck yeah. Dustin's putting a paint job on those for us, and he's going to kill it. Seen pictures of his Cleavers, and they look great. So, yeah, now he's got some work to do if he's not already done with those, which I think he is. Man, I don't even have my heads yet, so I haven't started painting them yet.
Oh, wow.
So... But yeah, don't miss out. And then also, you probably heard, if you go over to Legions Cast, if you're a Legions fan, you're going to want to get over to legionscon.com, I think, and register for Legions Con, which is the 14th of November. $6 gets you in to the virtual event. And yeah, you don't want to miss it. We're going to be doing some fun stuff all day. And even if you can't make it that day, the stuff will be recorded for you to access later. So, can't wait. There's going to be, like, yeah, I said, good stuff.
I'm super excited for that weekend. You know, you go from G-Con on Friday right into Legions Con on Saturday. It's going to be pretty sweet. And if you're a Legions person, then, yeah, it's something you definitely need to tune in for.
Absolutely. Can't think of anything else we need to plug. Usually when we do this, we quit recording and then immediately think of something that we were supposed to say.
Which is gonna happen this time as well.
Alright, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Like I said, we are working on something for 200. We'll get there. But for now, hopefully this gets you by. Thank you.